This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Older Voices is a programme made by CRY 104 FM on the lives of older people living in the Ballymacoda and Ladysbridge area. Their stories are told in their own voices. In this episode, we speak with Frank Kingston from Ballymacoda. School life can be challenging in any young man's life. Frank speaks about his memories going to boarding school in St. Augustine's in Dungarvan. This school was established in 1874.
I suppose at that time we had a very primitive upbringing, as everybody had at that stage. So we went to Kilcritton School, the old school, and from there we progressed, finished our primary education there. I went on to St. Augustine's in Dungarvan from there.
Was that decision, did you take that or did your parents take it?
I'd say my parents took it. My mother, she was always a far-seeing person, I'd say a bit more than my father, and she was anxious that we would get an education, even back in the, that was being just around 1960-61. It was run by the Augustinian priests.
And was there many students there?
About 150.
Is that a boarding school?
A boarding school.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a long way now from...
A long way.
How old were you when you went there?
Just come in, 13 and a half. It was terrible now. I missed the home life, even though at that stage it was primitive at home. But, the fact that home life was different than it is today. It was very much hands-on. You did little jobs around the farm and so on and so forth. I missed that, missed the animals. Being locked up at 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, that did not suit me. There was no contact with home, which was a major issue on Christmas and Easter, and that was it. It wasn't a life for me, and that was it.
Threshing is the process of loosening the edible part of cereal grain from the scaly, inedible chaff that surrounds it. It is the step in grain preparation after harvesting and before winnowing, which separates the loosened chaff from the grain. Industrialisation of threshing began in 1784 with the invention of the threshing machine by Scotsman Andrew Meikle. Today, it is mostly done by machine, usually a combine harvester, which harvests, threshes, and winnows the grain while it is still in the field. Threshing was a huge part of rural life, and Frank talks about the importance of this in rural Ballymacoda.
The grain would be cut when it would be fairly ripe. It would be put in little heaps known as stooks and stacks in the field to let the grain dry out a little bit more before the grain could be removed from the straw.
Yeah.
But unlike today with our combine harvesters, they come along and do the whole lot in one go. It would be drawn back into the yard, and it would be this huge machine where the corn was drawn to the yard and the threshing machine would arrive and all the neighbours would help out in the day. Everything would have to be fed into it by hand and threshed and take the grain from the straw. These machines then were powered by a steam engine. We had at least two steam engines in the parish, in the Ballymacoda Cesar parish. Today you always see these steam engines at vintage festivals. and it's a beautiful machine. But to see the smoke billowing up out of it, and yeah. that in turn drove this threshing machine.
Must have been real. How many people would be involved in that now?
You'd want at least 20 people on the day. Mm. Everything, it was all manually. The bags had to be filled, and there'd be drink, of course, was always prominent. It blamed, some people would say, it started off young fellas drinking. When the threshing was finished in the evening then, you'd have a threshing dance. And that would be held in the farmhouse.
In the farmhouse?
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
of the particular farmer who's...
Yeah. So that was a free-for-all event. So they'd be one at least, you know, maybe around 3 or 4 nights. And
great social life.
Oh, great social life. Yeah, very primitive now.
Yeah.
But you know, what drink would be left from the day of the threshing, it would be consumed on the night, and all that went on.
The decision by the vast majority of the Irish people to join what was then the European Economic Community, or the EEC, in 1973 has had an impact on our development as a nation. Frank speaks about the impact this had on the small farmer in rural Ireland.
All that business that changed when we joined the EEC, you know, it changed Ireland completely. Which was 1972, when all the major changes began to take place. We were then competing with Europe. Consequently, farming units had to get bigger and become more mechanized. This saw the demise of the smaller farming units. These in turn were rented out then to bigger farmers. It was just the farming practices moved on. Industry was just starting to take off then, where a lot of the smaller farmers went out to work. And in Middleton, where I worked, an amount of small farmers worked there, and different industries sprung up here and there. It worked out very well, you know, because a lot of the small farms anyway, they weren't viable. So the bigger guys then, they moved in and they built proper milking parlors, got into mechanized everything, and you know, it seems to be working out very well. But as it was a shock to the system when we joined the EEC in 1972, it's the EU now, the EEC as it was known at that time. But when the first president was elected, he made a statement which went down like a lead balloon, when he said the number of farms in Ireland would be halved.
And did it really trickle through?
Did
he put in a policy for that, or was it just his statement?
It was a policy of the EU that we had to move on. The units were so small that they couldn't carry on as they were.
Frank speaks about the impact of farming in the rural area and the different produce made, and also where they went once they left the farm. He speaks about old practices such as butter making and curing in a time well before refrigeration.
Most farms, they were self-sufficient. Everything was produced on the farm. So, all this meat, you could say, was produced on the farm.
You had, like, you know,
all the basic
foods,
the potatoes, vegetables. You had the milk from the cows, you had the meat from the pigs, your turkeys, geese, and chickens were readily available as well, all of which were reared on the farm.
Did you also sort of maybe kill them and give them to neighbours?
Oh, yes, that would be the tradition.
Yeah, there wasn't really refrigeration and stuff.
Not at all, no. Chickens and geese, and they were all killed and eaten straight away. The bacon, that was what was known as cured at the time. You know, it was killed and sorted, and there was a technique where it would last indefinitely. And as you say, when one farmer might kill a pig, we'll say in the month of February, and they'd give a bit around to the neighbours, the next pig might be killed 3 months later, and so on and so forth. It was the done thing.
Did you have enough on your farm to sell any of your produce, or was it completely self-sufficient?
You're growing grain, which was sold on, keep a certain amount of it for feeding. The grain would be bought by the local merchants, which should be ground and made up into feed for animals. That was barley was grown and sold to the maltings. There'd be a certain breed of barley which was malting barley, and that was sold in Barnacora, which went on to the Guinness, which produced our Guinness at the end of the line.
Mm.
That was grown in contract as well. You had something to sell in every season, which was very important. In the early days, milk, you know, butter was made on the farm and the surplus was sold on. Incidentally, my late mother was the last person in Ballymacora to make country butter, as it was called at that stage.
And what was the difference? What was it?
Well, you know, there was a little machine which you turned by hand, which would take the cream out of the milk. And then once a week, the cream was churned, where you would churn all done by hand, and the butter was made. You kept enough to keep the house going for the week, salt on some maybe to the neighbours, and there would be also shops that would buy it and sell it on. At that stage, milk was being produced, I suppose, a little more commercially, and the creamery in Mogheely was up and running at that stage. And milk was collected around the area in 20-gallon churns by a number of hauliers. And, you know, it made life easier, because later on down the line, the big tankers collected and everything went moved on.
Remembers the fairs in Killa and Yole, and how the animals were brought to these markets to be bought and sold.
You had a fair in Killa once a month, in Yole and Middleton, and if there was a fifth Monday in the month, there'd be a fair held in Clyne. There was no cattle trucks or anything at the time. Cattle would be driven from places like Knockadoon into Killa. You'd start off at 4 o'clock in the morning with your cattle, and the fair would kick off around 6 o'clock out on the main street. And in Yole, it was a little bit different, where they had a fair field, which you probably have heard of the fair field at the up in the northern side of the town. But in Killa, the fairs were held out on the street, and that day then, it was a major day in Killa, because later in the day then, a mobile bank which would open there, and where people would be paid. The cattle then, when sold, they would be walked to the station and loaded onto the train bought by the butchers in Cork. I suppose other memories of those days was the turkey markets in Ballymacora.
The turkey markets?
Yeah, at Christmas time. Live turkeys now.
Oh my, the noise,
yeah, the
must
noise
have been phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
And how much would you get? Can you remember? Like, if you had a turkey, what was a turkey worth back then?
Oh, gee, having an old money, you'd be talking maybe a shilling a pound or something like that, you know. And they'd vary up and down.
Yeah.
They'd be weighed there by the merchants, you know.
How many would they rare?
They'd rare maybe 20 or 30 turkeys.
20 or 30?
Yeah.
So it was good coming up to Christmas.
Oh, it
to
was
get
very, very
big.
Good.
Oh, wow.
It was a bonus again. But it was a big day in Ballymacora.
Yeah.
Big day for the pubs, big day for the shops, and you know, it was just...
Coming up to Christmas.
Coming up
must
to
have
Christmas,
been great
atmosphere. Yeah, yeah,
and...
It was, yeah. It was amazing seeing it. Thank you.
We would like to thank Frank Kingston for taking the time to speak with us and for sharing his memories and stories from his life. Older Voices was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee and in association with the Ballymacoda and Ladiesbridge Historical Society. Older Voices was produced and narrated by Orla Reardon and edited by Tomás O'Keefe. Older Voices is a Community Radio Youghal production.